So last night we spoke about what stress is, what it does to us, and how dangerous it can be. I mean, how deeply it affects us. Then we got into two different categories, work and money, and how the stress affects us in different ways for each of those. But it's still stress, and the same symptoms are still popping up. And believe it or not, it's the same types of techniques and ideas that we use to alleviate the stress in both of those categories. Tonight, we're going to speak of two other categories that have specific stress issues. But there's a little bit of a twist in tonight's study or tonight's focus on stress. You see, tonight we're going to talk about how friends can contribute to our stress and how family can contribute to our stress. Now, last night we showed how five categories or five ideas could be implemented or changed in the way we implement them to alleviate the stress in our lives, to eradicate the long-term negative effects of stress by utilizing, implementing these five ideas. One of those ideas is friends. But you know, friends can cause stress in themselves. If you've gone here very long, if you paid attention very much, you know that one of my favorite sayings, my favorite ideas, came to me when I was a young man, pre-teenager. One of my best friend's fathers told us, he said, "Boys, if you got one boy, you got a whole boy. If you got two boys, well, you only got half a boy. And if you got three boys, you ain't got no boy at all." And what he's talking about here is the effect that a social group has on one's decisions, on one's behavior. What we're talking about is peer pressure. And let me tell you, folks, that is not solely and strictly isolated to children. Peer pressure affects us all. As a matter of fact, there's a whole psychological theory about social stress, how it arises, how it evolves, and how it's dealt with or not. It's convoluted, and half the time they don't know what they're talking about, except they want to be able to stand up and give lectures. The idea here is that in a social system, there is pressure from that society on every single entity. And the thing about humans is we don't do real well by ourselves. If we go off to a deserted island somewhere, we can survive. We can. But believe it or not, your lifespan is going to be short. Our bodies are not designed to survive alone. We're designed, especially our minds. Our minds are designed to be a part of a larger system, to contribute and to benefit from that system. Now, let's talk about social stress in a way that can be very easily understood. Remember, last night I brought in the analogy talking about how stress is a natural thing. It's a good thing and it helps us. I brought in the idea of a gazelle and a lion, right? Let's go back to the gazelle. Is the gazelle ever a victim of social stress? Absolutely. So the gazelle, remember last night I told you how when he bends down to get a drink of water, the stress level of the potential danger will rise up inside of him until it explodes and he can no longer stand it, and he'll raise his head to assure himself that there is no danger imminent, right? All right, now that same gazelle out on the open plain in the middle of a giant herd of gazelle, his closest associates around him, his friends, if you will, his social system that he is close with, all grazing around him. He looks around and he assures himself there's no imminent danger. So what does he do? Inside this herd, he'll lean down and begin grazing. As he takes, clips some grass, takes a bite, he starts chewing and starts to clip some more. Suddenly, his neighbors, his social group, his friends tear off in a crazed frenzy, running east in a stampede. Do you know what direction that gazelle will not run?
West.
That's because his psyche is designed to trust in his social system for survival. The stress applied to his system from his social system, the stress is, applied to his mind and body, overrides everything else that's in him and makes him run with the herd. Now I say that, and it's not correct. Just like that old adage that we're all familiar with, that old adage that we all say, that we all think of, and is completely wrong and egotistical of us. You see, no matter what it is in a social system that drives us on, whether you're the gazelle or Jimmy, you never want to keep up with the herd. You never want to keep up with the Joneses. You know why? Because you never win a race that way. Regardless of what it is, you cannot continue to survive if you're neck and neck with whatever the stress is. You want to outrun it. If you can win, you know that old saying, I don't have to outrun you, or I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you, right? Right, that stress pushes you to outpace whatever your social system is, to outdo it, to be better. Because, well, if you're just barely keeping up, the lion's going to, you're the one, you're the food. And if you're neck and neck with the guy in the last, well, it's 50-50 who's going down. So you want to outpace. And that's what social stress does to us. It causes us to want to outdo and exceed our friends. Because it's a competition. Stress, it forces us to compete. Now the thing is, in a social environment, we humans, we have things called egos. Superegos and ids. We have things in our minds that we don't even know are there. We have an image of ourselves. And regardless of whether or not it's a factual representation of us, we believe that's who we are and what we are. And we believe that's what others see us as. So in this competition, we are most times pressed to maintain or better that image. Not necessarily ourselves, but the image. Now, up until 10, 15 years ago, that meant that as you look at me, you see exactly what I am. And you're close enough to me to interact with me to tell whether or not I really am what I say I am and what I represent myself as. That, in large part, has changed recently. And I'm talking about social media. It is a huge part of our lives. Now, something like 65% of Americans are involved in social media. I disagree with that number. I think it's higher than that. But I believe that number is that low based on the criteria of the actual question. Heavily involved, I would agree with that number. Nearly all of us are involved in social media to one degree or another. We text, We get on the internet. Even the television now is a part of social media. If you watch news at night, 10 o'clock on your television, you're engaging in social media to a certain extent because they're affected by social media themselves. It's everywhere. It's a part of us. The thing about social media is you don't have, like I say, that personal interaction. So you don't have the validation for yourself or about others that you do when you have that personal connection. So when you get into a social media situation, you start to develop a social circle, friends, if you will. And these people represent themselves in a certain way, just like you do. And when you see that your friends are happy, it makes you want to be happy. But we are not always happy. Unfortunately, that image that we have of ourselves, if we admit that we're not happy like that person, causes our minds are unable to accept that. We have already represented ourselves, and now we can't tear that down because we will destroy what we think of ourselves and what they think of us. See, the problem with this, though, is that your friends are doing exactly the same thing. They're not representing what they're really doing, what they really feel, who they really are. They're representing that image that they want you to see. So when you're fighting to maintain the image that you want to present because you want to keep up with the Joneses, Joneses are doing the same thing to you. Psychology Today says problematic use of Facebook can become an addiction. Did you hear that? An addiction. Addiction. Not, I usually. No. An addiction means I must. American Psychological Association's reports that 20% of Americans report technology as a significant source of stress, and the University of Chicago found that social media is more addictive than cigarettes. Wow! That's just out of this... Wait a minute. Wait, let's think about this. When you walk up to someone and you say, how are you doing? Look, man, I hope you're having a great day. You know what just happened in his mind? In his brain, dopamine was released. When I walk up to someone that I know and I brush them, there are actually nerves under your skin who have one job, nothing else. They don't fire off except for one reason, a light brush. That tells your body, that tells your mind, someone cares about you. And you know what? Your brain releases dopamine. You know what dopamine does for you? Makes you feel good. That's what it does. Makes you feel good. Do you know what a human or an animal will do to feel good? They will do anything. Absolutely anything to feel good. You ever had a back pain? Man, you would do anything to get rid of that and to feel good again. Anything. So what we're talking about is when people get online and they have friends that they talk to and their friends think that they're being, you know, you're happy. Oh, my friends think I'm happy. Yeah, they think that I'm good looking. They think that I'm a good person. They think dopamine. Man, I feel good. Now here's the problem with social media, is that there's nothing to back it up. And you know that wealthy, middle-aged man who has a car dealership, 3 Mercedes, a 6-bedroom house in Hollywood and he vacations to Paris once a year is really a 23-year-old kid in his mom's basement with a laptop and a beanbag. And then you find that out and you're destroyed. But before you found that out, you were doing everything you can to lie to everybody to say that you're as good as he is. That's how the circle works. Because you can't feel good if they don't think you're good. Now, normally, it's easy to write that off. Don't turn on the computer. Okay? You know what? Just don't. Who cares? Those people don't matter. Okay? All right, that's fine. So what I want you to do is the next time you see a man in really, really tattered clothes, filthy, disgusting, wrapped in newspaper, sleeping on a sidewalk with a bottle of 99-cent booze wrapped in newspaper, walk up to him and tell him, stop being homeless and stop being a drunk. I bet that'll work, won't it? Same thing. Addiction is real. It is not something you can just stop. And it's not something you can tell somebody to stop. Yeah, say it all day long. Number one, you don't know what you're talking about because it's not going to work. And number two, you're probably going to make the situation worse because they know you don't understand. And addiction is serious. I was just reading today of a 13-year-old girl who was an honor student, and in 6 months, the school issued little notepad thingies, whatevers, for schoolwork. And hidden in that was a Google app with chat rooms and stuff. And she started chatting social media. They didn't allow that in their house, but they didn't know. And in 6 months, she's in counseling, she's on medication, she's out of school because she's suffering depression and psychotic episodes. Why? Peer pressure. Addiction to social media. Did you know that psychologists with social media addiction cases recommend beginning treatment with 24 hours of no social media? Can you believe that? Just one day. You know why? Because it's too dangerous to do anything longer than that. It's actually harmful to the person's brain. It's a serious, serious problem. Our psyches, our minds, are so closely linked to the social system that our minds and bodies demand we are a part of it. Social media, unfortunately, gives us super quick access to something we don't understand and overwhelms us. Here's why. Multiple studies have been done, and actually the Bible said it long, long before. The human being is capable of maintaining minor levels of relationship with 1 to 200 people. What we're talking about is associates. People you know. 1 to 200 people. The human mind is capable of having a close relationship with 5 people. That's it. And believe it or not, multiple studies were done before social media. Studies were done on cases that were able to be documented from the 1800s, 1700s, and studies were done recently with the boom of social media. Never changed. Never changed. We can't deal with more than 5 close friends, period. But jump on Facebook. How many friends do you have? I don't have a Facebook account, so I have to be very careful not to be a hypocrite here, okay? I understand it. I see it every day. I'm not a part of it, and I'm lucky that I chose that because I could fall into that trap so easy. Because everyone can. So how do you fix the problem? Now see, all this is about the social structure around you applying pressure on your life, your system. Remember the spring that is compressed? Well, we want to use our social structure around us to help us with stress. Remember last night? But this same system is causing stress to us. How do we fix that? How do we go from friends stressing us out to friends helping us? Well, we're going to go back to the five categories. Now, I'm going to skip friends because it's going to be obvious that once we do these others, the friends will kick in and help themselves. Number one was time. What are we going to do with time? How are we going to affect our friends so our friends can affect us? And then we're going to look to our future to prioritize and change our mindset. So to begin. Not to begin. What did we do?
We'll get it going.
Better? Okay. So, there's our time, friends, future, priorities, and our mindset. Start with time. How are we going to use time as a tool to help us with our friends and the stress that they might cause us? Well, we're going to use time to connect with our friends instead of complaining. You see, a lot of people seem to think that if you have a friend, you have a family member or a counselor, their job is to listen to you complain. Because that's how you relieve stress, right? You get it off your shoulders. You spill your guts to them. I don't necessarily agree with that. Neither does the Bible. What is your we're going to skip ahead a little bit. What's your goal? Remember our goals? That they weren't about being selfish. So why would you spend your time with your friends being selfish? That goes against everything we've been talking about. We want to spend our time to build ourselves up, to grow, to exonerate ourselves of the stress. Yeah, stress is going to hit us. Great. Now we'll alleviate ourselves of that and go on. With friends, we need to spend time to overcome the problems that we have with them. So, well, we'll get that on here in about two little clicks. So we'll listen to what the Bible says about spending time with your friends. It says in Proverbs, "The righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." So what does a friend do with his time and his friends? He helps them. You can't be a friend if all you're doing is causing stress to the guy. That's not being a friend. You're supposed to be guiding your friends. You're supposed to be helping people. If you spend your time connecting with, if you spend your time helping your friend, the stress is going to start going down. You see, what we're talking about here is a positive interaction. So, I'm going to walk up to Carrie. She's a friend of mine. I'm going to tell her, "How are you doing today?" And she's going to look at me and she's going to say, "I'm not bad. But you look kind of funny with that haircut." Okay. Stress. Okay. What am I going to do? Well, let's hang on a minute. Let's think about this. Automatically, we're going to pop up and we're going to say, well, thanks. We're going to jump back at her. Well, what did Carrie mean? Let's think about her. Let's think about connecting. Let's think about guiding and helping. Let's think about her. Why would she say something like that? What did she mean? Because if I just jump back, then I'm adding to the stress, right? So let's think about her and what she needs, and let's think about the relationship. Let's think about what it is. Let's think about how long it's probably going to last. Is this a momentary friendship, or is this a lifelong friendship? Because if it's momentary, then what she said doesn't matter. I'll never see her again. It doesn't matter. If she's going to be a friend for the rest of my life, then I need to understand what's going on. So I drive through the drive-thru every other day. I drive up and I go, "How are you doing, Lily?" "Oh, pretty good, Jimmy. Another cup of coffee?" "Yes, ma'am. How are you doing today?" "Great. You look stupid in that haircut." Well, what kind of effect did she have on me? Really? Do I care? I may never see her again. And our relationship is that long, every couple of days, to say hi. Pass some money, pass some coffee, drive on. What is the extent of the friendship? Well, it's non-existent. So what's the importance of that interaction? It's non-existent. What's the importance of this interaction? Absolutely. Very, very important. Proverbs says, "A friend loves at all times, forever. And a brother is born for adversity." All right, so if she's my friend, and it's going to last a while, then I need to find out what's going on, because, well, if this stress develops in our relationship, then it's going to be around for a long time. It's going to be an unanswered question. It's going to be friction. And we need to start to prioritize the importance of everything that is said. What was her name? Lily. Lily in the coffee shop. Priority? Zero. Don't matter. Exactly. Exactly. That's the importance of the non-existent friendship. And, very important, that's the importance of the interaction. Positive or negative? Don't matter. I don't care. This one I care about. This one is going to be around a long time, so it's very, very important. So, what's the priority level? As high as it can be. So she says I look stupid in this haircut. Why? How many times do you ask yourself that question when you have an interaction with a friend instead of having a comeback? Why did she say that? Because you see, if you place that much importance on her friendship, like Paul told the Romans, you will be devoted to one another in brotherly love, preferring one another, giving preference to one another. Now, what that means is that, as opposed to the coffee shop lady, this one I care about. So I'm going to ask why. I'm gonna wonder what's going on, and I'm gonna take it one step further. I'm gonna ask, "You doing okay today?" What is that gonna do to her? Instead of having a comeback, I ask, "How are you?" So now she has to decide whether her joke was misunderstood, or whether she's in a bad mood and maybe she shouldn't have said what she said. Or, "I really do look stupid in that haircut and she's trying to help me out." Either way, dealing with your friends is something that you... Five people. That's all we can handle. Only five people can be that close to us. We have to cherish those relationships so that we have a support system. We push them away, we got nothing. We're the guy on the island with a short lifespan. We have to change our mindset so that our friends are a cornerstone, a foundation for our support system. We can't use them as a crutch. And that's what social media does. How many friends do you got? 25,463. Really? Really? What's their names? You can't be friends with somebody if you don't know their name. I'm just telling you right now, okay? These people, you don't know what they look like, where they are, what they do. You can't trust anything that you can't verify in today's world. I can verify it with her. I know her. I know her husband. I know friends of theirs. I know that what she presents herself as is fact. That's the verification that I have to put trust in the relationship. Social media, you can't do that. And once you have trust in that friendship, in that relationship, you come upon another word. Another word that seals everything nicely together and concretes the fact that they are your support system and can then help you with the stress. That other word, responsibility. Greater love has no one than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. You have a responsibility to those that you love to help them. Maybe even to the point of putting their life as more important than yours. When you do that, and they know this, you know, by the way, in a friendship that has trust like that, they're willing to do that to you too. Once you do that, that solidifies that relationship, and now you're both linked together, guiding each other, helping each other, and holding each other up, lifting each other up through hard times. Time. Connect with your friends. The future. Just how long are you going to be around these people? In that, and with that answer comes how important your interactions are with them. Your priority. The importance of making the trust worthy. And the mindset that your friends are more important than you. That your friend's happiness is more important than yours. Because happiness isn't having a friend, it's being a friend. When you are someone's friend, they help you. It just works that way. C.S. Lewis was a Christian and a writer, and in my opinion, kind of a genius. C.S. Lewis said friendship is unnecessary. Like philosophy and art. It has no survival value. Rather, it is one of those things that gives value to survival. The guy on the island can survive. You know why he dies early? There's no reason for him to live longer. He has nobody to live for, fight for, push for, love. That's what friends are. That social structure. Friends allow us to have an escape from stress. Friends allow us to express a love that we have to express and to feel love. Remember that dopamine that gets released? When we have interaction with friends, dopamine is released. Make the dopamine release when you have a true friend and separate the associations that you have otherwise, and prioritize them as associations. Once you do that, if they tell you you look stupid in that haircut, it's okay, because it's just some guy somewhere saying something. It's not a friend of yours, which automatically will tell your mind it doesn't matter. Is it that easy?
Well, if you change your mindset, it is.
If you take the time to make those positive interactions with your friends, it's that easy. If you look at the longevity of the friendship and therefore the importance of the interactions with those friends, yeah, it's that easy. But it starts with changing your mind. How does God think about friends? What is his viewpoint? You know, he made us, so he probably has an idea that we have friends. Maybe even knows that we need friends. I would posit that he made us to need friends. And because of that, he understands it absolutely. In 2 Peter, Peter says, many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. I would like to focus on two things in this passage. Number one, it's easy for us to fall into the trap of friends. No, they're not your friends. They're associates. They're associations. They're known people or people you've run into. But because you follow that little bit of feel good and you want some more of it and you're thinking about yourself and feeling better, you start putting more attention and more importance on their words, and they pull you aside. And if you look at that second phrase at the in the last verse there, it says that their judgment from long ago is not idle. If I don't separate the important people from the unimportant, the associates from the friends, if I don't make that prioritization in my life, then the coffee lady telling me that I look stupid in that haircut is going to bug me all day long. It won't be idle. It'll continue festering and growing in my mind. And that, my friends, is where the stress from social media comes. Not from social media, but from us not prioritizing and separating, understanding what friends are. In Proverbs, it says, a man of too many friends comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Friends are one of the key aspects of life. One of the key aspects of feeling good and to helping us through life. They're also a huge source of pain in the butt if you aren't a true friend. And if you don't understand what friends are,